Hi, you're listening to Advocate Radio. This is Emily Toman. I'm the Far North Dallas and Preston Hollow editor, and today we're going to be talking about the LBJ Express and what's going on with that now since the project has began in January. I'm here with Andy Rittler of the LBJ Infrastructure and also Jack Antaby, the mobility coordinator for the Texas Transportation Institute, and of course our advocate columnist, Sandy Grayson, who is also a former city councilwoman for this district, who was around when this all was getting on the books. So first of all, we'll just talk about, it took over 20 years for this to actually break ground, and why did it take so long, and what was sort of involved in the beginning stages of it?
Well, I could talk a little bit about that, Emily, because I was around then. And around 1989, TxDOT took a good hard look at this road, which was already getting over capacity badly at that time. And they started looking at how you might be able to increase the capacity. So they studied it for a couple of years and came back in 1991 with sort of a locally preferred alternative that a lot of the transportation folks had signed off on. And it called for 24 lanes, and kind of including frontage roads and main lanes. And so, of course, that would take a lot more right-of-way. And when the homeowners and the businesses along LBJ heard about that, there was just an absolute rebellion. They said, absolutely not. You go back and you start from zero and you rethink this whole thing, because we are not going to have 24 lanes of concrete out here, which is a river of concrete. Oh, yeah. And we already feel sometimes a little separated from the rest of the city by the road, so we didn't want it to be twice as wide. And they had two instructions when they came back with this denial. The residents and the businesses said no higher and no wider. And so the marching orders were that, and the groups came together, and this time included a whole lot more input from neighborhoods and businesses along the road. And they restudied it, and after a number of years came back with a true alternative that everybody could sign off on. And then it was up to kind of finding the money.
All right. So sort of the benefits of building, of going under as far instead of going out or up, what were some of the, what was involved in kind of making that decision?
Well, I think that was really a TxDOT decision, Jack. And I know that you've got some experience working with that project as well. I mean, obviously when you are the constraint than you have within the overall contract is no higher and no wider. That really only leaves one direction, because you have to have that capacity. And the 24-26 lane concept, that that was kind of crazy, really, to even think that that would be possible. Not to mention the fact that you would have to tear down massive amounts of infrastructure. But how would one exit, say between Montford and Preston, or something like that? It's just it's
mess, yeah.
To have to cut across 18 lanes of traffic in itself is just a crazy concept. But the history is one that it was well spoken here, and I think that what we need to understand is that the reason that the engineering design goes down is because you have to keep with that no higher, no wider constraint, and that's a challenge in itself. We've got soil compositions in this area that are challenging. We've got drainage issues that are challenging in that area. These are all things that were tackled by TxDOT early on when this project was reevaluated. And Jack, when was that reevaluation period? Was it early 2000? Correct.
Yeah. Now, some of the issues were with the no higher, no wider. The concept of half lanes also came in, because everybody knew that we cannot build ourselves out of congestion. So we're going to have to manage traffic better. And that was one of the things that came out of it, the toll component of this project. And eventually that's what is facilitating it for the state to be able to build this project, because the developer can come in with the money and build this project.
And also, after they re-examined this and started moving ahead on some preliminary engineering, some preliminary design. Originally, those managed lanes were supposed to be in tunnels,
mm-hmm.
completely under the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be 6 tunnels, 3 in each direction. But when they looked at the cost of doing that, they said, we just absolutely cannot afford to tunnel under the road,
mm-hmm.
which is why now we have lanes that are lower,
mm-hmm.
but they won't be completely in a tunnel.
No, it's not completely covered. It's the scenario that Sintra, which is the managing partner of this project and the one that bid on this project, with 2 other partners, Meridium Infrastructure and the Dallas Police and Firefighters Pension Plan, which that is a unique relationship in itself because it's really the first time that a pension plan in the United States is a direct investor in an infrastructure project like this. So we're breaking
mm-hmm.
new ground here. And I think it's not going to be out of the realm of a regular occurrence from this point forward when you talk about pension plan fund, tackling those issues of sustainability
mm-hmm.
for pension funds. But anyway,
okay.
the whole idea that Jack talked about is when you build a highway, the Federal Highway Administration requires you to build that highway to account for 30 years of growth. Obviously, we have this when it was built, 169,000 cars a day was the capacity that could sustain. We're at about 270,000 cars right now. And the census population says that about 500,000 cars will travel down on LBJ by 2020. So we have to account for those increases. And the way to do that is to, as Jack said, to manage that traffic through that area. And so utilizing those tolls, we have a variable toll that we're going to put, that we're going to use as that tool to make sure that we keep that traffic moving. Because what we're offering is essentially that 50 mile per hour trip on those managed lanes. That's the threshold that's been given to us. And in order to maintain that, we will increase that toll when traffic starts to back up and that speed limit goes down below 50 miles per hour.
Right.
And the reason it's counterintuitive, some people may think that you would decrease the price as more traffic travels on the road, but in this case, we're creating a management system.
Mm-hmm.
It's air traffic control for cars. So we offer a choice. You don't have to take the toll at all, but if you do take the toll, we're trying to make it so that you have that trip through those lanes without
mm-hmm.
Too much backup,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way that we do that is to increase that toll to keep that traffic level moving at about 50 miles per hour.
Yeah, it's kind of called reliability. You know how long your trip will take if you just are willing to pay for it.
Oh, I equate it. It's funny you say that because I equate it to the Six Flags and Disney Fast Pass. You pay a little more to get on the ride quicker. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of the concept that we have with this system, I think, and it works pretty well. And Jack, I know that there's a ton of penalties that we've built in to the developer. We as the developer have to adhere to, and you guys have established these over a long period of time. Maybe you could talk a little bit about some of those penalties that we...
Well, if the speeds drop below 50, they will be assessed what they call points, non-compliance points. And depending how much it drops. But each point in today is around $7,200, and that will be adjusted to inflation throughout the contract.
Okay.
If it drops below 35 miles an hour, then I believe all of the revenue that they generate within that 2-hour period is lost. They're going to have to pay it to the state or to the region so they can use that money in other projects or projects in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of penalties that
mm-hmm.
they can accumulate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. Well, I also wanted to talk about the crazy weather we've been having
mm-hmm.
last week and maybe a little bit more to come. How did you guys deal with that last week, and what kind of preparations do you have in place to keep the project from getting too behind or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Anything like that?
One of the contractual obligations that we have with this contract is to maintain the right of way from Merritt Boulevard to Harry Hines Boulevard. And what that entails is essentially what you would expect on a current roadway today in terms of courtesy patrols, potholes, any type of debris that's in the road. the maintenance of the facility itself in terms of the aesthetics and that kind of thing, making sure the grass isn't too long, making sure the bushes are maintained, making sure any greenery that we have is looks presentable and doesn't die out. This all falls upon us to ensure that that's properly maintained. One of those aspects of this is, while it's a somewhat rare instance, last week was quite the anomaly. I think we experienced an inch or 2 inches of sheer ice on most of the highways in North Texas. I think, though, that if you look at our performance, I think we did a fantastic job of keeping that roadway clear. And I think there's a couple of reporters were at the High Five shooting toward westbound along 635, and they were reporting. For the most part, it was relatively clear. So I think we did a great job of keeping it clean. The way that we did that was one of the things that, as a private company, we have the ability to be a lot more innovative than some of the other institutions around the area. So we used plows, something that a lot of the other folks didn't use. I know it's funny.
It sounds so simple, right?
It really is. But one of the things, I mean, we used two pickup trucks and a third truck. And the way that we would do this is we would have each lane, we would have the pickup trucks go down that lane, and one would shoot the snow to the right, one would shoot the snow to the left, and the third truck would come behind them and drop down what's called Meltdown 20, which is a salt mixture that, when it melts away, leaves a low-level brine, because one of the issues you have is the runoff and what that does to the local streams and rivers and how that affects the salt content. So we're trying to be as environmentally conscious on that as we can be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using this Meltdown 20, which really works well. Our roads were relatively clear for the most part all of last week. And so I think that's what drivers can expect over the course of this lease that we have with Texas until 2061.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So any future icy weather that comes, it's just taking out the plows and just getting it done.
It's a lot of long hours. It's a lot of a lot of our guys getting very little sleep. But we're dedicated to making sure that this highway is one that people really want to use. Mm-hmm. And that people talk all the time about, you're going to toll it and you're going to gouge drivers and you're going to rip people off. But as a private company, it's in our best interest to make sure that this is a highway and this is a corridor that people really do want to use.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not in our interest to gouge drivers. It's not in our interest to cut corners by not doing proper maintenance on a facility and something that people don't want to use. It's absolutely our business model to make sure that this is something people really want to use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about the beginning stages of this project. And you mentioned tree removal and sound walls and things like that. What are some things that neighbors and property owners need to know about possible tree removals, before, like you said, bulldozer ends up in their backyard?
Yeah.
How are you guys sort of educating or kind of making people aware of what might be going on?
Well, always the number one source of information for the project, it's always going to be lbjexpress.com. Mm-hmm. And I recommend that that people go there, and if you go into the upper right-hand corner, you'll see updates and alerts. Click on that, and that will allow people to get our newsletter, construction updates. We'll send out our weekly lane closures on Friday so that everyone can see kind of where we're going to be and when. There's also social media. Most every company nowadays and project has social media, so we're not immune from that. We have at LBJ Express is our Twitter site, and LBJ Express Project is our Facebook site. So on those, you can expect to see just updates about those construction updates, that kind of thing, just road conditions reports. What's the state of the road right now? As we get that reported to us by by our maintenance crews, we're able to push that out to individuals. In our recent newsletter in January that went out, we just did discuss the issue of tree removal in there. One of the sad parts of this project is that we do have to remove trees from the right-of-way, because we actually have to build the highway. Mm-hmm. And what that entails is actually removing trees and then creating a program where we replant those trees elsewhere. in conjunction with the state of Texas and the city of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And so we are in the process of doing that right now. It's more or less a one-for-one type replacement. We do our best to try to keep those trees planted back as close to the facility as we can. We are working with the Dallas Parks Department on that. And so it's really the Parks Department's discretion on how we go about that replanting. Now, there is a tree farm facility that we're working with in Collin County, actually, for trees that are within wetland areas. And that's actually a three-for-one replacement. So we'll work on that with that tree farm up in Collin County to kind of replace some of those trees. We tried to do it in the Trinity Basin, actually, but we were told the Trinity Basin was already filled, believe it or not. So we had to go further off the project, sadly, to make that to make sure that we complied with that TCEQ and EPA requirement for the tree mitigation. Mm-hmm. Over the next couple of weeks, people can expect to see our variable message signs out. Those are those little signs, the little orange signs that flash and give you information. They will talk about where those lanes are going to be closed so that people have, you know, a little bit of an advance notice, but also know where that's going to take place. We should be done that tree mitigation by about March, and we anticipate we'll begin the process of actually moving utilities in March or so, maybe closer to April. That entails gas lines, power lines, telephone lines, all kinds of things of that nature. And we will begin to move those during that period of time and also work on constructing our sound walls along the corridor as well.
Another thing that maybe some neighbors are wondering about some of the specific intersections that are sort of problem areas of LBJ and how this project might improve some of that, or if that has to be an entirely different project and, you know, submitted to TxDOT altogether. Like some people are saying, you know, the Marsh and Midway exits that back up every single day and things like that. Are there any details in the project that are going to alleviate that kind of those specific problem areas?
You have some improvements. For instance, Midway Road, you will have what we call bypass lanes. So people that are wanting to continue on the service road going westbound, they can just go over Midway and they don't have to cross at the light. We have that on Preston Road. I believe Josie and Webb Chapel also have them. So that's going to help. For eastbound, you have also bypass lanes for Josie and Webb Chapel, so you can go to Marsh. And for Midway, you do not have a bypass lane going eastbound. However, you'll have, I believe, an extra lane on the service road to help alleviate some of that congestion.
Mm. Okay. Well, I think that concludes our podcast, unless there's anything else that anyone would like to bring up.
Yeah, I talked about that on our...
You did?
Yeah.
How people can get in touch with you guys on the web and social media and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, one of the things that we have as well, thanks for mentioning that, is we have a hotline.
Okay.
So if you call 877-LBJ-EXPY, it's 877-525-3979. That has our lane closure information. It has an extension for the Public Affairs Department, which is my department.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a hold of our maintenance guys if you are, you know, if you're on that section of LBJ that we mentioned earlier between Harry Hines and Merritt Boulevard. You can call our guys, and if you need some assistance or anything like that, they'll be happy to help you out. Any type of other information. If you want to get a hold of the developer itself, the contractor, that's all on that hotline.
Okay. Well, I think we'll leave it there. This has been Advocate Radio. Thanks for listening.